Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'm the Gnarly Gnome. This is the Weekly Pint. It's the show that is not a show. It's a happy hour, a virtual excuse to hang out and have a drink together. So hopefully you are cracking into something. As you do, please tell us what it is you're drinking, and I will do the same. And I've got some fun stuff tonight. I have a few fun drinks planned. Some stuff that, I think I've had it all. This one that I'm pointing at that you can't see, there's a chance that I haven't had it before. I just can't remember. But it's still fun, even if I have had it. Welcome. If you're new to this thing, it's a live show. So if you're listening to it afterwards, you probably should have tuned in on Monday around 9:30. How did we do tonight? We 9:45. That's not too bad. Especially so my wife had to jet at the very last minute. Like she had to go do something. It was like 9 o'clock and she's like, I got to go right now. I got to go do this thing. And, it's important. And she had to do it. But she's like, can you feed the kids and put them to bed? Whoa, what? It's 9 o'clock. I got to feed the kids and get them put to bed and in a half an hour and still be able to start the show on time. I'm like, there's no possible way that I'll be able to do that. We did it, on time ish. And since there is no on time, I think it counts. I'm also feeling, knock on wood, I feel like nothing is going wrong, and I feel like that's setting me up for some kind of disappointment here in a minute, but everything is actually working right. I cleaned the studio this week, so everything's like really like organized in here. Like I vacuumed the carpet. There were all kinds of like spent limes and bottle caps just strewn about the room. And I cleaned all that up. It looks great down here. Like I'm feeling like this is going to be a good episode. And you know how to make every episode better. Actually, first let's see what everybody's drinking. I need to get batteries put in the mouse so that I don't have to reach across the table here. Let's see. Marco is driving home. Josh is having Entropic Theory. Chris is having Trogue's Mad Elf Grand Cru. That sounds good. Julia is having Urban Artifact, a Dilophosaurus, the Banana English Strong. Was Dilophosaurus, was that one of the other dinosaurs that they had at one point? Or is that a new dinosaur? I don't actually know. I'm going to look. Eric just finished Streetside Cerveza, starting in on Theakston's Old Peculiar. Ooh. Julia says, did you manage to get the green stain off your desk or is it just out of frame? It's just out of frame. It's like right here. you can probably actually no, it's out of frame on the drink cam too. Yeah. It's like just out of frame. No, that stain will never come off. Julia says it's one of the new ones, but I want to say it was also one from the past, but I could be wrong. All right. I have to look. Just out of my own morbid curiosity. Let's see if my headphones stretch. Let's see. Luckily, I keep a stash of dinosaur beers. If this was cold, I would drink it, but it's not. Dilophosaurus was the pawpaw. For anybody that was curious. It also was the one with a clear label, which does not show up really good on camera. And it's got a nice little sediment in the bottom. I don't know how old these are. It doesn't say. It doesn't matter. They're going to still be delicious. I love these little tiny bottles, too. Okay. Oh! Lost my headphones. This is what happens when you run across the room. Oh. See? I jinxed myself. This is what happens. This is why you never say that everything is going good. Sorry, it's an easy fix. We're back. Okay. I'm not going to start off with a dinosaur beer because it's warm and I'm pretty sure that wouldn't be very good. I am going to start off with something that a new tradition here on the show. Instead of the schnappening, it's the rumination. I don't think I've had this one on this show before. If I have, I apologize. I'm pretty sure I haven't. This is Rum JM. This is the VSOP. This is a rum agricole. So rum itself does not have any actual definition. As long as it's made from, actually, I'll even push this definition a little bit. It's as long as it's made from sugar, it can be rum. I would push it as far as to say, as long as it's made from any kind of grass, we can call it rum. So like there are other grasses that people can probably squeeze some sugar out of and make a beverage. But this is made instead of the molasses, which is kind of the byproduct of sugar production. This is made from the actual juice of sugarcane. So it gets a very different flavor than a lot of other rum. It kind of tastes a little earthy, a little grassy. Good stuff. Here, we'll put it on the drink cam so you guys can see it. Rum JM. You can tell it's rum agricole because they spell rum wrong. Rum. Wheat thins. All right, let's crack into this. And there is like a whole, there's a whole book on the back of the bottle, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. That is way too tiny for me to read. I can't read any of that stuff. It's also like in a, like a script. No, it's the finest rum in the world. Yeah, it's that's going to be impossible to read. I might, in my notes, I don't think this is the exact same thing, but I can tell you a little bit about Rum JM, why we drink it, while I drink it. If any of you happen to have Rum JM, I'm impressed. Some kind of psychic stuff. I probably could tell you guys ahead of time what I'm going to be drinking on the show, but so you could drink along. But where's the fun in that? There's no surprise. Okay. Bamboo rum. Yeah, I'm like, what are other, let's see if I can find something. No, I'm not going to sit here and keep Googling trying to find some other things, but okay. Let's, should we taste first? Let's read a little bit first. Rum JM is one of the oldest operating distilleries nestled in the mountains of northern Martinique on the backside of Mount Pelee, of a volcano that wreaked havoc and transformed this part of the island. Because of the elevation, the sugarcane grown at Rum JM has a distinct character. Arid volcanic soil combined with damp sea air creates a sugarcane that grows like wildfire, but with a lower sugar content than in the lower elevations. Rum JM is also in the banana business and grows bananas in the fields alongside the sugarcane. There's more, but I want to drink it. Okay. Oh, yeah. Earthy, fruity, grassy. A little bit of booze. Now, I know that I just read about them growing bananas, but I smell banana. I don't know if that's just in my head because I read banana. But I'm going to say banana. All right. Cheers. Oh, yeah. That is so good. Way different than the other rums that we've been drinking, especially like the white rums, the premium rums that we had last week. This is like, I'm not going to call it funky, but it's just like this earthy, like, Yeah, earthy is the best way I can describe it. And then there's this obviously has been aged a little bit longer than what the other ones have been so far. And so it's got this great kind of woody character to it is the best I can kind of describe that. There's definitely a little bit of like a fusel alcohol thing. Not in a bad way. It's actually kind of really enjoyable. Okay. That's a great rum. It's good sipping like just neat by itself like this, but man, if you just threw that in a rocks glass with a couple of big ice cubes, just as they start to kind of dilute a little bit, man, that would be, that's a good, like, just summer sipping rum. Ryan says, I'm drinking water because the brew dads were on the porch this evening already. No shame in that. I, in fact, recommend that periodically everybody drink some water. It's supposedly good for you. I drink, other than booze, I drink an inordinate amount of fizzy water in my life. Specifically fizzy water. I drink some still water, but a lot of fizzy water. And I encourage that. Okay. The AOC for Rum Agricole, that's again what this is because they spell it wrong, dictates pressing the sugar cane within 3 days of harvesting. But Rum JM goes further and all sugar cane is pressed the same day it's harvested, sometimes within an hour. JM also distinguishes itself by using natural spring water from Mount Pelee, which is naturally filtered through volcanic soil. While JM is well known for their white rum in the United States, their aged rum is revered in Martinique as being one of the best. Rum JM produces a 6-year XO rum, a 10-year 2001 rum, and a 15-year 1999 rum. The standout of the lot is the 15-year, which blends tropical fruit notes, ginger, caramel, banana, oak, black pepper, and orange peel. It's soft and elegant with a long, spicy finish. It's simply spectacular. This is, I don't know what this is. This is just VSOP. They didn't mention that one at all. It doesn't exist. It is from... was bottled in 2015, I guess. Does that sound right? Sounds right. Okay. Yeah, it's good stuff. If you see it in the store, pick it up. Buy it because it's delicious. It's delicious stuff. Chris says, also use sunscreen. Okay. I will keep sipping on this, and then we'll get into some beer. This beer is to some kind of a theme. This one is not, but I want to drink that second, so I don't know how we're going to do that. We can jump into... you know what? We haven't done for a little while. Let's do some label approvals, if I can get it to work. I did kind of... cut these way back. With the label approvals, I had a ton, and a lot of them were kind of boring. So I just picked out the really kind of exciting ones and the ones that I think have a something fun to talk about with them. This is maybe the one that I want. Maybe. Maybe. Let's actually try this one. Nope. Oh, man. This will take me a second. I didn't prep ahead of time. And now... it's cropped wrong. We need to crop. There we go. That should get us where we want. Don't mind me just adjusting things on the fly. It's fine. If it was a show, that would be a problem. Since it's not a show, there's no rules. Let's just make me tiny right here. There we go. We've got this background. We'll just put that like that. There, how we that works, right? How's that look? One of these days, I will get myself together. All right, turnstile. This is from Fretboard. Fretboard has not over the last, like, I don't know what, 5 or 6 years, has not really released a ton of packaging, a ton of like new crazy labels, which is, that's pretty normal for the industry. That's kind of the way things have shifted. I think we're seeing a little bit of a shift back away from that and getting some other fun stuff out there. But they've just kind of, as of, you know, the last few years, kind of stayed true to those core beers that they make. They've got a couple seasonals that'll roll in and out, but there hasn't been a lot of other stuff. So it's exciting to see something a little bit different. This is Vienna Lager. It's a turnstile. They have made great Vienna Lagers in the past. If you remember, Gustav, that was a Vienna Lager. Was that Fretboard? Was that right? No, Gustav was Taft's. Didn't Fretboard have a Vienna Lager? Am I making that up? Gustav was Taft's. Oh, that's going to bother me now. I feel like they had a Vienna Lager. Either way, this is a golden Vienna Lager. So a little bit lighter, at 4.9% ABV. Light, crushable, little bit of Vienna malt. So it's going to be a little bready. I think that we are going to start seeing a lot more of these kind of, and this is even not quite as far down as I think we'll see them go, as far as kind of this lower ABV beer trend. We're going to see places making not non-alcoholic beers, but just low ABV beer. So like, you know, under 5%. We're going to start seeing a lot more of those. And this is a good example of it. Something with some flavor, but still something that you can drink plenty of. Anyways, moving on. I'm excited. I will drink many of these. It would help if I was on the right screen here. There we go. Mad Tree. Mad Tree's got a couple really good ones. This is called Harvest Brown. I'm going to guess, and this is a micro brass. Maybe that's, yeah, that one sounds familiar. I'm going to guess that this beer from Mad Tree is going to be a fall release. It is a brown ale with chocolate, pumpkin, and spices. And pumpkin and spices is hidden down there. So a chocolate pumpkin brown ale, which sounds great. the ingredients that are listed up on the right side there, if you look at them, it does have pumpkin. This is an actual pumpkin beer. Pumpkin, cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, allspice, and chocolate. And then it says, where fall traditions begin, taste the harvest. I like this. I want it. I love, if you have been following along with all of my drinking exploits over the last few years, I'm a very seasonal drinker. I like to drink things that fit the time and the place that I happen to be consuming. And so when fall rolls around, I like fall beers. Obviously, I drink lots of Oktoberfest, but I like something that kind of fits the weather a little bit. I like sitting around a campfire and drinking something that kind of feels like being outside. So I'm pumped about this. Something else I'm pumped about. Not this one, though. We'll get to that. This is for the May Festival. A lyrical light lager. Light lager, 4% ABV. I can't say that there's a lot exciting about that other than the great artwork. Collaboration for May Festival. This one I'm super excited about. I'm a little bit torn on the artwork change because it's different. And this happens to be one of my all-time favorite Madry beers, Soul Drifter. This is a strawberry blonde ale, artificial strawberry flavor, but super, super delicious, crushable. It's got like a really great kind of bitterness to it at the very end that kind of is different than a lot of other strawberry beers. I love it. Really, really good beer. But like I said, I'm a little torn because they went in a completely different direction with the artwork, and the nostalgia side of me misses it. I just it was like a little like a little sailboat or something on there. It's fine. It's fine. The beer's back, and if it's going into packaging, I'm very happy about that. Again, 4.3%. Super crushable, perfect summer beer. I'm all about that. Okay, I talked about, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. This is, I'm gonna drink some rum before we talk about this. This is not a local product. This is from a niche beverage company. So, co-packing contract at Urban Artifact. They are producing this for somebody else, for Castle and Key, actually, is the place that's making it. But we got to talk about it. Hang on. Let me down this. Oh, that's so good. I didn't mean to drink the whole thing either. Oh yeah. Okay. Ooh. That'll warm me up. Okay. They have made, and not necessarily Urban Artifact. I should clarify on this. Brett Coleman Baker on Brew Sky's Barstool Perspective with Mike Morgan have made several jokes over the last year or two about everything becoming alcoholic in today's weird world of RTD beverages. And one of the jokes they keep making is that what are we going to see people making alcoholic milk? And that's exactly kind of Not exactly. That's kind of what this is. I mean, it's called Mother's Milk. It is vodka with coconut water, so it's not really milk, but I imagine it's probably supposed to be milky. It's probably good, but this might be. This might be one of the grosser things that I've seen for a while. Oh, excuse me, guys. It was like when Smooge, if you remember the Smooge, like seltzer thing, these like thick seltzers, if you remember those, it was gross, and not something that I want to drink. This is kind of right along those lines for me. The thought of boozy milk just doesn't really get me that excited. I mean, I should specify. Okay. The last time that I talked about this beverage, I did, and I think it was on this show. I did mention that I did know a distiller friend at one point that went through an experiment trying to ferment and then distill milk, like actual milk, which is gross, and it did turn out gross, which is why the product never was released. But there's something about... I love Smooch. I would die for Smooch. That's weird. about the... So there's like a historical example of people that would ferment like yak's milk or something. And this was a project designed to try to kind of recreate that. There's like a nerdy side of me that appreciates it and thinks it's a fun thing to try. But I don't like... It doesn't sound good. And I think that, like, if you're making a product like this, it should sound good. Again, this might taste amazing. It's vodka with coconut water. It's got mint and shiso in it. Like, it's probably fine. But it... I don't know. I don't know. It's the end of the world as we know it. Moving on. We should talk on the same line with Urban Artifact. Ooh, I need a drink though. Let's get a beer. I'm cracking into Rheingeist Summer, which we will talk about in a moment because it's warm weather drinking season. Poppeltonic. So when these first came through the TTB, this was the first one that came through the watermelon. I assumed that much like mother's milk, that this was just another, contract beverage that, that Urban was working on. Sorry about the weird crop on this too. Again, I didn't prep. I assumed that that's what it was. Julia says the Mother's Milk social media page, at least Instagram, is interesting. Lots of hydration and boob references, hazy filters on most of the pictures. Okay, let me see if I can pull this up here. Give me just a second here, guys. Let's go. I need to put this over here and then. Mother's Milk Instagram. Okay, yep, there it is. Okay. I think. What have I done? As you jump back on the stream, I hit the wrong button, guys. I did jinx myself earlier. That is exactly what happened. I thought that I was going to have an easy show. Does this... Somebody... type in the chat that we are alive, if we are. Because time is weird in streaming world. Okay. I think we're good. I think. It never died for you? That's okay. Maybe I was quick enough to turn it back on. Let's try this. I have to change this to that That should work a little bit. Still not ideal, but whatever. Okay. This is Mother's Milk on Instagram. So they, oh, I can't even look at Instagram without signing in. Oh, that's lame. Lame, lame, lame. Ryan says everything went sideways when Marco got here. Coincidence? No. No, it is never a coincidence. Okay. I should like have a separate thing so I can actually use my phone like a real person. Chris says internet sucks now. Your internet sucks or my internet sucks? Because mine looks fine to me. All right. Let me pull these labels back up. It's very delayed. I have a Facebook stream pulled up for the Northeast Ohio Craft Beverage News folks. But it's like way far behind. Oh, just the internet in general sucks. The internet in general is, this will be confusing for a second. Sorry. I wouldn't say that it sucks. I would say that it gives the largest common denominator exactly what they want, which might not be exactly what we want out of the internet. if that makes any sense. Poppletonic. I already got distracted. Okay, let me pour a beer and we'll get back on topic. This is you know what? I've never had this. I do actually know that now. Whoa. I don't love the way that smells when it first comes out. That smells like somebody just ripped a big old fart in here. Wow. That's nuts. Okay. that's from back here. Maybe it smells better when I get closer, but this is Ryan Geist Summer. Sorry, Ryan Geist. It smells like you farted. It's a lemonade shandy. An ale made with lemon and natural flavors. Bright lemonade aroma with lip-smacking notes of sweet lemon. That is not lip-smacking. Okay. That's a... Okay. When I get in there, it's a little bit better, but... there's something going on there that I don't love. It needs way more lemons to cover up the fart. All right, let's try this. All right, it tastes better than it smells. Well, that was wild. Maybe that'll dissipate here in a moment. Okay, getting back on topic, Poppletonic. So this popped up on TTB through label approvals, which means that they're approved to make it. The problem is on here, this is, I don't know, you probably can't see it very well, but on the side down here, oh, you can't see it. I got it over here. On this side, can you see my mouse? Yeah. This side down here, it's a niche beverage company, corporation, company, whatever, which is their contract arm. So I assumed that this was a product that they were making for some kind of contract partner. This would just be something that they would make and then send out, and it would be fine. And didn't affect Urban Artifact one bit. Then they announced, and for their anniversary party, released the first two flavors of this as their in-house vodka seltzer brand, vodka RTD brand. So it's real fruit and seltzer and vodka. That's it. That's the whole thing. I probably could have guessed because of kind of some of the wording on here that this would have been an urban product, but no, it doesn't scream urban artifact at all. The artwork is a little bit different. The branding is different, and it's labeled as niche beverage company. So it caught me off guard that this was an urban product. They released watermelon, which I've tried, and it was good. And they released the black raspberry. As you know, they are big on pushing this Cincinnati black raspberry idea. And this is another product along those. The next flavors that they come out with, that's where we're going with this. We have a couple other labels. Strawberry Popple Tonic. I love strawberry, and I want to try this. If you had told me, like, I don't know, even like 6 years ago, pre-pandemic, if you had told me that I would be excited to try a seltzer, I would have told you were nuts. But this, yeah, I'm excited to try it. Especially, like, it's not high ABV. It's, again, 4.5%. Fits into that trend that we're going to be seeing a lot of. Real fruit, no sugar. I think it's going to be good. The fourth one, Citrus Splash. I don't know what kind of fruit a Citrus Splash is, but I will take it. It sounds perfect, summery, refreshing, which, if you didn't catch on, is where I'm at with drinking right now. I like summery things. I'm ready for warm weather. I'm ready for just parking myself in a chair out in the sunshine where I can just knock back a bunch of something. We've got some other Rheingeist stuff. Speaking of Rheingeist summer, this is Apple Pie Bubbles. Bubbles is becoming its own brand family. It not that it isn't already, but it's definitely becoming one. They're rolling out flavors in the same way that, like, early on they did a lot of ciders. Bubbles is not a cider. It was at one time. It is not anymore. It is a beer now. However, it's a beer with a whole bunch of apple in it. In the same way that early on Rheingeist had a lot of different cider flavors, that's kind of becoming what Bubbles is. Bubbles is just like their not cider brand, which is fine. This one sounds delicious. They had like a winter cider a few years back that I really loved. And now I wish I could remember what the name, I want to say it was like Snug or something like that. It was something very like cozy. And I feel like Snug might have been what it was. And I loved it. There is a whole different rabbit hole here, but I drink a lot of Liquid Death. Like I mentioned earlier, a lot of fizzy water. One of the Liquid Death flavors is like a Psycho Cider, maybe. And it's kind of that same idea. It's a very apple forward, but like some of those warm, like baking spices thrown in. It's so good. And if in my head, if that's what this tastes like, I'm all about it. Some cinnamon, some apple. Yeah, I need it in my life. Sam Adams does a lot of these fresh pops out of the Cincinnati tap room there. This is cherry lemonade. That sounds good too. Again, very summery. It was called Snug. There we go. That's all the labels that I've got for you this week, because, like I said, I narrowed them down to get the best of the best so that you didn't have to look at 14 labels of things that are either already out or have already been out at some point. It's the best of the best. I've never heard of that Liquid Death. I want this Rad Guys beer. Yeah, it's obviously the Liquid Death is a seasonal release. I stocked up. It was on markdown somewhere, and I stocked up on a whole bunch. So I might still have like two cans of it left that I've just been like hoarding. Like I seal them in the fridge, and I go to drink it, and I'm like, no, because then if I drink it, then I'm almost out, and then it's gone. That's a problem. It's a problem. I try not to hoard beverages, and that's we've probably again talked about that on this show at some point, but like that's a big problem with a lot of beer drinkers is like you go to some of these releases and you get a bunch of big imperial stouts and you stash them in your beer cellar and then you're just waiting for that right day to drink them, and that right day is few and far between, and you just drink it. And I'm guilty of this. Like I back here is where my beer cellar is, and there's like three shelves worth of just stuff that like I should drink. Like there's no reason for me not to. I'm just waiting for that right moment. And I'm very aware right now of how much is in there because I cleaned the studio this week. So very, very aware of how much extra beer is just laying around. I've done better over the last few years of kind of not only working through some of the stuff that I have, but not bringing new stuff in. But there's still way more there than there should be. Oh. Yeah, I don't know what that, flavor or that aroma is, but it's not super enjoyable for me. That's disappointing. Well, if anybody, let's see. Oh, if anybody is looking to get into the beer industry here, job listing. I feel like I should make more mentions of things like that. Municipal is hiring an experienced brewer. You need to be an experienced brewer, but if you're hanging out there and you're looking for your next spot, they're looking for somebody to join the team. They have two different breweries. If you are not familiar with them, they have a 15 barrel brew house at their main location downtown Hamilton. And then just like a mile away, they've got a second tap room that has a 7-barrel brew house in there that kind of gives them the experimental stuff. So like I said, if you're looking to get into the industry, reach out to them, Sean@municipal.beer, contact him and send him your resume because we need good brewers around the city. And I love Municipal. I love what they're doing over there. In my cellar, there are three Municipal beers, I believe. I'm pretty sure. I still have one bottle of the Natasha, their Imperial Stout, and then I have two different years, but two bottles of, and I guess we should explain this. Two bottles of their anniversary Imperial Double, whatever they call it, IPA. And yes, I will acknowledge that traditionally you should not cellar IPAs. That is a bad idea. They're not going to get better. Ryan says, I believe I saw a listing today for a brewer job at Third Eye Hamilton as well. All kinds of jobs in Hamilton. I missed that one. Thank you. I've toyed over the years with putting like a job board out in like a newsletter or something, but If you are looking to get into the industry, or if you're in the industry, the OCBA always has in their newsletter openings here in Ohio, and that's a good good resource. Anyways, you should not cellar IPAs. However, and this is, I would have never done this until I had tried it, but their anniversary IPA, it's loaded up with honey, and it's definitely super hoppy when it's fresh, but as it ages a little bit and some of those hops fade, it almost starts to taste like a barley wine a little bit. Not like a big like caramely barley wine, but like a big American barley wine. It's good. Like it's actually it's really good. So I still have one bottle of the original, so the very first anniversary, and then I think I have a bottle of the third anniversary. So they're both, they have some age on them. I probably need to drink them. Again, there's just beers that like I just have sitting around that it's not like purposely aging it that long. There are some things that I am purposely aging either as long as possible or a certain amount of time. Like I keep a lot of Orval stashed in the cellar. To me, Orval is fantastic at about 6 years. That's when I like it the best. So I buy a lot of fresh Orval and stash it for 6 years. That's when the Brett starts to come out a little bit more for me, and it starts to get a really fun kind of funk to it. So again, good beer fresh, but to me, a really good beer with some age on it. I think that maybe I'll contradict myself here a little bit. While I would encourage beer drinkers to be a little more conscious in consuming the beer that they have as fresh as possible, I also think that there's like this some of the newer drinkers today, or the younger drinkers, also don't appreciate the fun of aging beer, because there is something fun about the mystery of it and the excitement of taking something and putting it away and not necessarily knowing how it's going to turn out. There's some magic to that, that I think is really fun. Sorry, hang on. Oh, goodness. It has been a week. I feel like I say that every time. I've been trying not to, like, complain about being busy, because being busy is a good thing. But, man, it's been exhausting. I think that's the hard part for me, is that it's not being busy that's tough. It's like that at the end of the day, like, after I finish this show, like I've got time. Like I could sit there and I could record something down here, a tasting segment to another video or something, or I could go ahead and get this episode posted tonight. I could do that. I could finish a couple blog posts that I've been wanting to get done. There's a bunch of stuff that I could do, but when I turn it off, I'm just too damn tired. there's also something that's it sounds ridiculous, because we're just like, we're sitting around and we're drinking things, but being like tired and trying to also like create some kind of content, no matter what that is, it just feels forced sometimes. And I don't ever want it to feel that way. I don't want that to come across when I'm sharing things with you. I want to make something and have it feel like I'm just kind of going through the motions of making something to make it. So I don't like recording things when I'm tired or when I'm distracted or when I'm not, when I'm just not feeling it. So I just don't. So I don't know. I feel like we're close to turning a really fun corner where some of that goes away. And we can start putting out more content like I want to. I did get a video out this week, finally. This tasting for Duet. Finally got to take the bottle away from behind me because I got to drink it. It's now behind the bar where we will consume it heartily. Mm. If I can get through this fart beer, we'll open the other one. Let's see if I've got anything else. I don't really have any other topics this week. We can talk about summer drinking because this weekend definitely felt like summer drinking to me. There's been a couple other nice days, but it felt right this weekend. For Mother's Day, went and hung out with my mother-in-law at my in-law's house, which we spent a lot of time there. I think a lot of people know that. And one of the, well, there's a few like standby things that we do. We play a lot of poker. So we hang out in the garage, smoking cigars, drinking beers, and playing poker. And this time of year, being able to just open the garage door and not have a heater on is extremely refreshing. but when we would take a couple breaks throughout the day and just go sit out in the middle of the yard under a tree, sitting in the shade, again, drinking heavily and smoking cigars, but being outside, it just gets me so excited for the summer. My kids we're getting ready to, I guess it's technically our second camping trip because me and the boy got to go camping already, but, this will be the first, camping weekend this year for all of us. And for Memorial Day, and the only thing better than drinking outside is drinking while you're camping. Zach says that's one thing I've never done is smoke cigars. I'm a huge cigar fan. I started smoking cigars. I was probably 20 or 21, maybe. It's hard to remember, but I just casually, just here and there. It's hard not to when you live close to jungle gyms, and just really started enjoying it. I'm not like, and this is true for a lot of the cigar smoking friends that I have. Would not call myself a connoisseur at all of cigars. There's definitely some that I enjoy more than others. And there's some that I think smoke, like physically smoke a little better than others. But I can enjoy a pretty cheap cigar. I'm not talking like Swisher Sweets or something, but... I can enjoy a pretty cheap cigar. Zach says, have you had any fine cigars? I've had many a fine cigar. I don't know if that's like a descriptor for like some kind of, quality level, or have I had any cigars that I think are fine? I'm not sure. I've had many a fine cigar. I've had a lot of cigars. Again, I live by Jungle Gems. And especially kind of pre-pandemic, they still do it, but it's a little different now. Pre-pandemic, they had weekly cigar nights And you would go and you would just show up, and every single week they would have some kind of rep there from a different cigar brand. And, you know, for like, I don't know, $20 or $30 or whatever it was, they would give you a little Ziploc bag full of a handful of different cigars from that brand. And you would just sit there and kind of hang out with people and try them. And then the rep would get up and talk about the brand a little bit and tell you kind of who they are and about some of the stuff you're smoking. And it was like this perfect opportunity to just try new things. And I think that that's, you know, the same way with beer. When you walk into a tap room, part of the fun of getting a flight is that you get to try things that maybe you wouldn't order a full pint of. Zach says, I just saw you're drinking that summer shandy from Ryan Geist. That's a banger. I think it smells like farts, Zach. I'm not a fan of it. Zach says, quality, like a Cuban cigar. I have had a couple Cubans. They were fine. Nothing crazy. The problem with Cubans is they're just too expensive. And I'm a firm believer that that changes the enjoyment of a cigar. If I'm spending a bunch of money on a cigar, my enjoyment of it better match that price. And I think that there's cigars that are delicious that are much cheaper. But yeah, it's like I enjoy trying new ones, but most of the time they just all kind of taste like cigars to me. There are some that are better than others, and there are some that smoke better than others. But in general, as long as they don't taste like I'm smoking a piece of cardboard and they hold themselves together, I'm probably going to enjoy it. So it's funny that like I get so into beer, and yet the cigar side, I've just never been able to kind of get past that hump. I mean, I can taste some stuff in there, but not some of the notes that I'm hearing other people give me. I'm looking forward to my next beer, and then we'll wrap things up. But yeah, it's definitely a ritual in our house. You know, the act of, you know, we're so busy and so kind of chaotic and nonstop during the week, and on Saturdays too, that when Sunday comes around, it's, we call it family day. And on Sunday, we don't make plans in general. Like, I guess sometimes things come up, but in general, you don't make plans on Sunday, because we hang out with our family, and this time of year, just sit around drinking and smoking and eating. And, it's wonderful. It gives you that, that day to relax. And I think that that's important. There was some kind of study back in the late 70s, maybe, about smokers. And it was the lifespan of smokers versus non-smokers. And I get it. There's flaws with the study and whatever. The point is important, though. Out of all of these people they studied non-smokers, cigarette smokers, cigar smokers, and pipe smokers. And the cigarette smokers lived the shortest lives. And then the next was, I might have a couple of these flip-flopped, but the next was, I think the next was non-smokers, then cigar smokers, then pipe smokers. And the thinking with it was that they weren't taking into account the fact that people who are smoking cigars or smoking a pipe were also the type of people that would take time to just sit down and relax and take a minute to just sit down. And we live in this world where everybody's just go, 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 go. And that stress of that lifestyle wears on people. And so I think that a warm Sunday afternoon, kicked back in a chair with a cold beer and a tasty cigar, is the perfect way to force yourself to sit down and relax. So that's what I do for my health. I cannot make health claims. I am not making health claims. But, you know, it's relaxing. I didn't like that beer. I want to like that beer. Everything about that beer sounds like something I should like. The can says nothing about farts. Okay. This one, I feel like I have to have had before, but I'm not sure. This is High Giant. This is a collaboration with High Grain, Nine Giant. I think it's a big, danky IPA. That's the whole idea behind High, if you catch the drift. It does say dank IPA, 7.2%. Resinous, pungent, dank. This IPA hits the senses with a pungent aroma, balanced by deep resinous notes and a lean, and then balanced by deep resinous notes that lean heavily into a sticky herbal profile. It's unapologetically bold. Oh my gosh, I can't read anything. It's that that rum. It's unapologetically bold brew for those who want their hops to smell a little more like the other green leaf. Hops, CTZ, Eldorado, Simcoe, Altus. Okay. All right. I'm not going to put it in this glass. I'm not going to put it in the fart glass. I was going to, but I won't. I do have another glass. Hang on. Okay, we'll put it in a Sam Adams perfect pint. It's a perfect pint. It has to work in there, right? Brewing the American dream. Shout out to Sam Adams. I'm pretty sure that this, at some point, this glass was gifted to me, so. Shout out to them. All right. Okay, yeah, it's a little danky. Yeah, the whole room is now danky. My wife is going to come downstairs asking me what I'm doing on the house. That's a pretty beer. I do always forget how much I enjoy this glass specifically. All right. It's a way more coppery colored than the Shandy was. Big old fluffy head on it. Yeah, this is a much better looking beer. Yeah, danky is the best descriptor for this. It's like, do you remember what was the, somebody made a beer with like actual, not I mean, Rivertown had High, which had like some kind of weed extract, something or other going on, the hemp extract in there. Somebody had, not that one though, it's not the one I'm thinking of. There was somebody else made a beer, Hemper, that was it. And when they tapped that beer and when somebody would pour a pint in a bar, the whole place would smell like weed, which is not crazy anymore. But at that time, when you would walk into a bar and you would smell that, it was a strange experience. That's fairly normal now. But this is that. 100%. Like, it just, it smells like somebody is smoking in the basement somewhere. Behind that, though. Yeah, there is a nice piney kind of earthy hop thing. But you got to get past the dankiness. Cheers, let's see. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a great beer. Yeah, I mean, it's not as bitter as I was expecting, but super, super good. Oh, yeah. Sorry, I'm being texted. You can probably find plenty of quotes from me on different shows talking about how I'm not a huge IPA fan. That's not the right way to word it. I don't like lean towards IPAs like other people sometimes do. I'm always looking for something a little crisper, maltier in general. But with that being said, when I drink a beer like this, man, like it does, like it just, it definitely connects with me in a different way. Like this is, when I think about like falling in love with craft beer, like beers like this and not like this. This is definitely, nobody was making something like this at that time, but hoppy IPAs, clear, good head retention, beers that just like, that were proud of who they were, I guess. That's the stuff that, that made me fall in love with craft beer. Like this is a beer that like you're happy to put in front of somebody and like that you're happy to see them drink it. Like there are so many just ugly, unbalanced, not that this is balanced in the traditional sense because it's definitely not, but there is balance to it. This is what an IPA should be. Well done. Oh. That's fantastic. I'm going to sit and drink it. I'm going to put my feet up, finish my beer, and relax. Because that's what we're supposed to do. Look, I appreciate all of you for hanging out. I feel like this was a long episode because my timer's messed up, so I don't know how long we've been talking. When you accidentally turn the show off for a minute, I guess that's one of the punishments that you get. You can no longer see how long the show is. Thank you guys for hanging out, for making this thing a thing. I appreciate it. Marco says New Belgium should bring that beer back. They're too busy making Voodoo Ranger Juice Force. Yeah. Was that New Belgium that made that? Wow. Yeah, things have changed. Definitely things have changed. Julia says 72 minutes per YouTube, which also doesn't think the stream ever ended. Perfect. That's what we wanted to think, that it never ended. We will probably come back next week and do this again. I appreciate you guys a lot. Before we wrap up the show, I will float this out there and see what you guys think. So the Cincy Drinks brand, this idea of, obviously Cincy Drinks is a magazine, but the brand of Cincy Drinks is such a good brand, in my opinion, that I'm trying to figure out a way with the podcasts to fit them into that. Now, I don't think that they'll ever... There's a lot to this. I have toyed with the idea of moving kind of... No, you guys wouldn't even ever notice. With moving some stuff around, but that wouldn't affect how it looks to you. I say all this because I think that what we will have this summer when the magazine drops, we will get a podcast feed that is Cincy Drinks. It's not a new podcast. I shouldn't say I'm not making another podcast, because at any given moment I could start another podcast just for the fun of it. All of the current podcasts, which there are new episodes coming, I promise, all of them will fit under the Cincy Drinks umbrella. So there will be, if you choose, you can obviously still subscribe to all the separate feeds or whichever ones you want to, and that's probably the right way to do it. But there will be one podcast that's just called Cincy Drinks that will feed all of those things into one spot. So you can just subscribe to one thing, and anytime I put out a podcast about drinking, it'll fall in that feed. I've also, and this is probably shouldn't even like float this out here on any kind of show, but I've been toying with trying to continue to wrap Dayton into what I do more, which is on the surface ridiculous because I can't even keep up with the stuff that I'm already doing. But I think that I have a couple ideas to make it work. It wouldn't be as in-depth as the stuff that I'm writing about Cincinnati, but... Marco says, who? Dayton. They're Cincinnati's biggest suburb. How do you not know Dayton? So I have just some ideas that I'm floating around. Ryan says, had the hard cherry cola at Wandering Monsters and was told to expect it in two future flavors in cans at the brewery and even possibly somewhere else in the future. Awesome. I'm happy to hear that. I was desperately trying to make it out there this weekend and just couldn't figure out a way to make it happen. Such is life. And such is life, and trying to make it to the houses of all of the mothers to keep them happy. All right, we'll I think that's a show, guys. I'm very burpy now, and every time I burp, I feel like I'm tasting the summer farts. Yeah. Marco says Ryan's garage door is there. Yeah. His car has never been more exposed. Okay. We'll be back next week. We'll do this again. I'm repeating myself, but I appreciate all of you guys. Thank you for making this a thing. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff, if you want to help me make stuff, the best way that you can do it right now is by going to thegnarlygnome.com/support and becoming a gnomie. I get it. People don't like monthly subscriptions. I understand. But it helps more than you realize. Even if it's just $5 a month, that's not that much, and it helps so, so much to kind of keep this whole thing moving. And there's so many fun things that that are coming this year. So thank you guys, and it's all possible because of people like you. We'll do it again. We'll hopefully drink something that doesn't smell like farts next week. That it's so disappointing. If there are things that you think I should be drinking on this show, tell me. Send me messages and say, hey, you should drink this on the show. And I'll either drink it on the show or tell you no. One or the other, but I'll probably drink it on the show. I've got a whole fridge full of fun stuff, so there's lots to look forward to. Cheers, everybody. Have a good week. Hopefully this warm summer experience that we're in continues. We'll see you guys next time. Cheers. Thank you. I think the problem is that Rangai Summer smells like somebody else's farts, which never smell good. But if it smells like somebody else's farts, whose farts? And I'm struggling with not knowing whose farts are in my can. I don't like that. I like to know whose farts are in my can.